Welcome to It Starts with a Dream podcast, and this is a show that's for women who want to carve out their own paths in life and they want to work on goals that matter. They want to live out their values and share their gifts and share their voice and their story. And recently, you might have noticed I have been talking around the theme of crisis and really getting out of a crisis and using it to change your life and to create a life that's more aligned with your values and what's important. So I would like to do a series where I'm interviewing other women who've gone through that and they've come out on the other side and their life has changed in some way and they're going on a new journey and I'm loving what I'm seeing what's happening. So I wanted to invite Robin onto the show and she's the host of a podcast, Sweet Freedom for Over 50s, and it's helping women over 50s with losing weight. So Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, we met through a group that we're in, and I always really liked what you were saying, what you were sharing. It was always like insightful and encouraging. And then hearing a bit more about your story, you went through a health crisis, and I thought you've got something to share. And it doesn't matter if you're not over 50, I feel like there's still things that you can definitely learn from you. So yeah, just basically tell us your story, like what happened and how has it changed your life and how did it become a catalyst to the life you're now living?
Perfect. Thank you so much. Well, I was overweight my entire life. And when, I'd been on probably hundreds of diets throughout my lifetime, maybe more. I could lose some weight sometimes, but I was never able to maintain any type of weight loss. But when I was 50, my back had gone out. So it really left me struggling at that time because I knew what I needed to do, but I did not. The health crisis just hit me. I was depressed. I couldn't work. I couldn't clean my house. I couldn't hold my then 4-month-old grandson. So I just, yes, exactly. It was very limited. I couldn't, my core basically had collapsed. So lying down or standing were really my only options. I could not sit for any length of time. So I spent the first few months really trying to heal. It was hard. I didn't want to lose weight at that time. I just felt like I needed to heal my body at the time, even though I knew I needed to lose weight, that it was probably one of the things that made my back go out. So that's where I started. At the beginning, I started listening to podcasts. I started reading, researching, what I needed to do. There were things I knew about myself that I had prediabetes. I was inactive. I'd been up and down the scale all my life. I'd never lost any amount of weight and kept it off. And being when that hit me, it just I was so lost for a few months. But
Yeah, I can imagine because you need your back for doing things, and I have a sort of type of arthritis that does affect my spine, so most days there's some sort of niggly pains or some kind of stiffness or discomfort, and I only have it quite mild compared to other people. So I can only sort of really imagine what it's like when you actually just have to like lie down and you can't do things. You talked about you felt like I need to heal. What did that mean for you? Like what did you think of as healing? Yeah, I'd love to know.
As healing, well, healing my back and also like healing my mindset because it really came to a head because I realized how bad off it was in that first month, especially at home. If I would drop things, there'd be no, I couldn't pick things up. My husband would come home from work and there'd be things around the house that he'd have to pick up. Helping him with the grandson, I wasn't able to. I couldn't clean my house. My daughter had to come over and clean my house. The little things that you just don't even realize would affect you, like your core going out. I had no idea that it was that bad until it was. And when I'd gone to the doctor and she told me it would be at least a year to heal, It just was, I don't even really know what I was thinking at the time. I just knew I needed to do something different. And I think that's really when I started to start listening to podcasts of people that were uplifting how to shift your mindset and perspective, how to do things differently. I followed like neuro doctors, doctors who really wanted to, can't think of the word. I wanted the doctors that want to really help you with the fundamentals of eating and not just here's a pill, take a pill, and it's going to be all better. I wanted something.
Functional doctors.
Yes, a functional doctor. Thank
Yeah,
you.
kind of a holistic approach, yes.
Correct. Because I just knew that a lot of the things that kept coming up for me, insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome, those things affected me all my life, even as a teenage girl with my menstrual cycle. I can remember how bad it was, even at 14, how painful it was and how bad it was. And it just made me think, I think this is all related. So I was love to research, and I really wanted to find out why I was the way I was, why I always felt like I could maybe lose a few pounds, but I could never keep it off. I constantly felt like I was consumed by food.
So how did this like healing journey start? How did it look for you? So you're like listening to these doctors who are not just like, let's give you some pills, let's give you some medicine, but it's like, let's look at diet, let's look at well-being, let's look at mindset, mental health, because we're a whole human. I think that's the thing. I noticed that I've sort of been on a similar journey where I'm like learning more and more about like the body, the mind, that connection between the body and mind. And we have these physical symptoms, and sometimes there is a more of a like a mental route or emotional route, or that does come into play, even if there is something that you can see on the x-ray, you can see the inflammation. So I feel like in some places it's a bit behind, so you have to sort of go online trying to find people who are, at the forefront doing the research and bringing it all together. So did you have anyone in person who was like that, or was it more mostly like online doctors that you were like learning from?
It was definitely doctors online. It really made me understand the type of doctor I wanted because I felt like my doctor didn't understand, that she didn't really get that it was so much more than just eating these foods. Just don't do that, eat less, eat more. And that whole thing never resonated with me. It never stuck with me. And I thought, there's got to be other people just like me who struggle with this. And there was a lot of people out there. I found that being, omitting and reducing sugar was going to be something I needed to do because I was a sugar addict. I loved sugar. I loved carbs, and I spent a lot of time eating them. And the more I ate, the more I wanted. So that just kept me on that hamster wheel of just, I knew I needed to reduce it.
And how did you get started? Because you said in the past you tried different things, you might try a certain diet, lose a bit. So how did you start to actually get progress and see progress?
Well, the first few months, I just kind of dabbled with the diet because I was unsure. I was thinking of more of all the things I couldn't have rather than the things that I could have. So part of that was learning to shift my perspective. You've had this before. You've had donuts, you've had cake, you've had cookies. And really that was super helpful for me. And learning to eat the foods that really responded well with my body. So I started eating more protein, more vegetables, some healthier fats like olive oil, avocado. I would eat things like that. And I started with breakfast because that was always my favorite meal. And I noticed that I would be full for several hours before I would get hungry again. And that to me was a big thing. because I, like I said, I've been consumed with food all my life, and I wasn't. I could find that 4, 5, 6 hours could go by, and I hadn't even thought of my next meal. That was a big thing for me. So really, for the first few months, I dabbled with it because I was unsure. And then when I finally went all in on July 1st, so I'd been dabbling for 7 or 8 months, and that was my date. I had already set out to, that was going to be my start date to lose weight. I was not looking back. I was going all in on it.
Yeah. I think like that period of dabbling, sometimes you need that almost like an experimentation, isn't it? To just try things and see what happens. And were you tracking anything, or maybe journaling or anything like that at that point, or just sort of taking it quite lightly?
Actually, was just taking it quite lightly because I'd used, you know, tracking for years, probably 15 or 20 years. I would track calories, all that. My Fitness Pal, I constantly would be on the app doing that. And I felt that that was part of the problem for me, constantly thinking about food, thinking about breakfast, then a snack, then lunch, then a snack. And it just, it kept me in that mode. And I didn't want to be like that. So the only thing I really kept track of was I kept track of what I ate so that I could be able to tell how I felt.
Yeah.
How the foods made me feel. How did I feel afterwards? How did I feel a couple hours later? How did I feel the next day? And when I started noticing the patterns, you know, like I said, I could, you know, stay fuller longer, and I wasn't thinking about the food. And then it just became something. When I was ready to start, I was ready to go.
Yeah, it's like, it sounds like you made a decision, and it was almost like a switch in your brain was like, I'm starting, I'm committed, I've decided. Yeah.
Correct. Absolutely.
And what happened, like, what did you do after that? So like, what did it look like for you to go, like, be committed and go all in?
Well, and that's when I really started my journaling, and I was very resistant at first because it just more was around the food. Everything I would write about, it wasn't about what was going on in my mind. It was about the food. And then when I started making the connection, it really changed for me because I, like I said, I noticed the foods that made me feel bad. I noticed the foods that made me feel really good. And I just started omitting foods that didn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
And then I would, and then start writing about it and really going deep into the journaling piece and why I really wanted this in my life. Why did I want to lose weight? And I had to get deeper with my reasons rather than something that was superficial, because I didn't want it to be what it always was before, was for lose weight for a little while and then gain it all back. I wanted this to be a lifetime, a lifestyle change.
Yeah. I think that thing of it being something for the long term, while before you sort of see things as being like, I'll do this, and you almost have, like, I have been in my 20s, it was like the yo-yo diets, and it would be like, in my mind, I'm going to do this for a couple of weeks, months, you know, leading up to some kind of event, and then, oh no, I'll put it on a little bit afterwards. And I remember after having my kids just thinking, I don't want to go back to that kind of way of thinking or eating. And like, for me, it's been a very slow journey. It's very slow, but it's trying to, like you say, have changes that are forever. So it's really like mindset shifts. And if it's slower, then it's slow, but it's like, I want to change forever. I don't want to just do something for like a certain date. So for me, it was like, how do I come out of that, like, yo-yo dieting and thinking I need to lose weight because there's a wedding, there's a holiday. So that was sort of my first focus. And a bit like you, it was like, how do I fuel myself? Because I had this baby and a toddler, and I had postnatal depression. And that was like where my life's crisis started. And then this undiagnosed condition, and just thinking, why am I feel like an 80-year-old? I'm having all this pain. So I sort of just trying to nourish myself and like eat more protein. That was like a key thing as well. And then I remember sort of like a bit like you, changing my breakfast and stopping eating cereals. And then just sort of realizing, yes, this is like we're eating dessert for breakfast, really, if you think about it, because it's pretty much just carbs and sugar, really, isn't it? Even like the healthy cereals are still really carbs and sugar. So I started like eating eggs or like tinned fish with like veggies and stuff. And I still have like, so I have a sweet tooth, and that's still something I'm working on. But I thought, let's start with things you can add in. Like you said, rather than focusing on like what I can't have, let's like focus on like what can I add in and making the changes that way. But yeah, I definitely feel better for like when I have a good protein like rich breakfast with like maybe a bit of fruit or I don't know, crudités or something. Definitely feel less hungry and don't think about food as much.
100%. And then for me, I just would substitute. So the sugary things, I crave things more at night. So I learned how to make things sugar-free. I mean, you can order them online too, which is fine. They're just very pricey. So I started to learn how to make them myself. And I just feel like anything that I want to have, I gave myself the permission. If I can make it sugar-free, I can have it. And that was kind of the thing that I went by.
So it was like, I'm
Yeah.
gonna have something else. It's not like I'm having nothing. It was like you gave yourself an alternative that still sounds appealing.
Exactly. And the thing is I don't really crave it like I used to. I don't feel the need so much because I feel satisfied throughout the day. I don't feel like I need to snack all the time. I have two or three meals and I'm fine. And I never thought I could get to that, but having three meals a day, just relying on breakfast, lunch, and dinner without having to think about the snacks in between, it really changed for me, and it changed, just changed for me.
Because I know I've experimented with different things, but yeah, there's days where I just have like the three meals and like making sure there's like a lot, good protein and veggies and stuff, and then I won't really want to snack as much. And then other days my portion might be kind of a bit small and maybe a bit too much carbs, and then I find like I do want a snack, so I'm like sort of like fig trying to figure it out as well. So did you
And yeah, exactly. So you even notice kind of when you're hungry. So if you just really kind of jot that down, oh, I felt a little hungrier today because I had some crackers or whatever, it just helped. It just made it so you want to snack more because it has the sugar and the carbs in it. And
Yeah. So do you still journal at like now, or is your journaling focused on other things in life? Because we were in a group together where journaling was really key. So I was just quite curious about like what does your journaling practice look like now?
I still journal. I don't probably do it daily like I was, but I still journal. It could be freehand or it could be today I was journaling. I had some prompts that somebody gave me in a book and I wrote them out because I really want to change my thoughts. I really want to continue with changing my perspective and how can my life be much better? And life just does get better every single day if you just keep pushing for it.
Yeah, I think this thing around changing your beliefs, I think it's like really powerful, because a bit like you, I remember when I had this my crisis, and if I think about the types of thoughts I had, it was very negative. It was like look in the mirror and it would be like 10 negative thoughts would come to mind about my body. Go about my day and it'd be negative thoughts about me as a mum. I'm not really good, I'm failing my kids. It was just like a constant co just constant negative thoughts. And then as I start to learn about how thoughts and how they do affect our mental health, because I was having some CBT counseling, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, because things got really quite bad. And I started to learn about these things bit by bit. It's gradual, but bit by bit start to change. And if I look, if I've actually put on about 3 stones since that time. But the funny thing is, I actually probably feel more comfortable now in my body, in my skin, than I did then. So if I look in the mirror, unless it's been Christmas and I've overdone it, I'll look in the mirror and it would just be like kind of neutral, like just get dressed and it's more like, okay, does things go? And I remember like just look in the mirror and it would be just like a million things that would just pop out my mind. And just realizing like, oh wow, like that has changed. And I don't know if I thought that could have changed. I think I thought back then, the only way I can change how I feel about my body is if I lost 2 stone. And then you realize actually nothing has to change externally for things to change internally. And I think that's really powerful about this belief change. And like you say, it also impacts other areas of life, because as you start to sort of be aware of your thoughts about one area, you realize you bring it into another area and you think, oh look, I'm doing it in my work, thinking I'm not doing a good job with my presentation or whatever it is, and you start to manage your thoughts and navigate them there, and you also find that you make you feel better about your work, and it just goes into your whole life really. And then it starts to open you up to realizing that you can actually do more than you think, and you try new things, and that's what I found.
100%. And when I started my journey, excuse me, I thought it was about the weight loss. I thought, if once I lose the weight, I'll be fine. Everything will be different. And it's so untrue. And I think that's probably why I never was able to lose weight and maintain it for long periods of time ever in my life, because I always thought it was the weight. And rather than, just working on that, I started working on so much more. The mindset, the journaling. And when you journal and when you write things out, stuff comes out of you that you never even knew. And that's what really changed for me, the thought process going along with the weight loss.
Yeah.
Wasn't just about the weight, it was so much more than that.
Yeah. I think it's all connected, isn't it? And I think journaling is a great tool for like processing emotions, and like you said, getting things out that you didn't quite realize were there. And a tool like when you are maybe like feeling a bit sad or frustrated or something, like doing some journaling first and just sort of seeing what's going on, what am I thinking? Because usually it's a chain of thoughts that have led to this feeling of frustration or upset or anger, whatever it's going on. It's the thoughts that are around this thing that's happened. It's not really the thing. Like you said, it's not the weight loss. It's not, trying to think, it's not the situation, but it's like the thoughts that have come around that situation. Then we start to give meaning to it, like, oh, it must mean this, it must mean this about me. So I think like journaling, just looking at what's going on in my mind, what thoughts am I thinking, and just getting it out, it's very therapeutic as well, isn't it?
It's so therapeutic. And I think it has thoughts come out that you really never knew about yourself. And it's very eye-opening.
Yeah. Going back to, you said when you made that, you picked that date and you were kind of like making this decision you were going to lose the weight. What do you think changed in your mind? And you said you start to think about what you did want, and I guess in my head I call that creating a vision. Was that part of your process of like thinking what could life be? And then you have something positive to move towards, rather than, oh, I'm going to be missing out on like donuts, I'm going to miss out on, I don't know, birthday parties. Did you have like, this is what I get instead? And is that how you did it? Or, yeah.
A little bit. So, what came up for me all the time would be, what would happen if I didn't quit? So, I wrote down everything, whatever it was, whether it was being a size I wanted to be, fitting into something, or maybe if I wanted to go zip lining or rock climb, it wasn't that extreme, rock climb, but whatever it is, write it out, and whatever dream that you could possibly think that you would want to do at your ideal weight. And I would write it down and I think about it. And all those things kept coming up. But another important thing for me was setting the date, setting my start date to quit. because I'd done that when I quit smoking back in 2011. My mom had passed and she was a smoker, and I knew I wanted to quit smoking. And for the first few months, I kind of set myself up to quit. So it was about 6 months later, I set my quit date to stop smoking, and that was the date I picked. And I haven't smoked since. And that way, that was what worked for me in my weight loss as well. So even as I dabbled with those few months, really learning on what I wanted to do, if that date in the future, just it set me up for success. I just knew that was the date I was starting my journey, and I wasn't looking back. And that would just stayed so powerful for me to do that. And then what would happen if I didn't quit over and over and over again? Those were the thoughts that would come when I would struggle, when I think, I really want to have these cookies. I don't, and it would be like, well, what would you do if you didn't have these cookies? And I would reframe it. Okay. I would feel amazing. And for me, feeling amazing every single day, having energy every single day, that's one of the things that keeps me going, because I want to feel like this every day. I don't want to go back to sugar and feeling yucky every single day.
So are you essentially sugar-free then? Is that like your lifestyle now?
Yes.
Okay.
I occasionally I have things, and I think it depends on your body. I did a lot of damage to my body for a really long time. I treated my body terribly with food for a really, really long time. And my body thrives on not having much sugar.
So how long was this process? Because you talked about the initial bit, which was about 6, 7, 8 months. And then how long did you get to? Did you have like a goal weight or anything like that? Or it was just sort of like, let's see how I go. And the focus being on feeling good, like you said, feeling like energetic.
Well, I did have a number in my head at first, but as time went on, I didn't. So I really only count July 1st of 2017 as my start date. That I don't count any dabbling before that, because I didn't have a scale at the time. I have no idea what I weighed. So that was the number. And as I started, I think once you what if you're over 200 pounds, I think that was kind of my thing, to get under 200 pounds. And then I just kind of let the numbers go away. I didn't really think about it. I just kept going each month.
It's interesting. For some people, numbers is something that drives them, and then for some, numbers can kind of derail, isn't it? So I think it's like knowing what works for you.
Correct. And the whole journey, I'd say it was like 1 year and 9 months to 2 years. I got to a number that at 1 year and 9 months, and I at that time, it was a number. It wasn't a number I was for a vanity reason. I just thought I could feel even a little bit better. So I just kept going. And I didn't pick a number then as well, but I did just keep going. So my weight loss was almost 2 years for, yeah.
Which it's a good amount of time. Like it's long enough where it feels like it's a habit that's really inbuilt, and also like manageable. Because sometimes, I mean, when I think about when I was in my 20s, trying to do it in like 6 weeks, crazy stuff, which was not good. And I'm pretty convinced that that's why I had a gallbladder issue and had to take out my gallbladder. I'm like so convinced it was a yo-yo dieting. Because if you think about it, it would be like eating normally, and that has fat, or it wasn't even eating normally, because after being on a very strict thing with like it was low fat in the 90s. It'd be like low fat, like literally not even, it was like no fat. It was just like I can't even remember. It was just vegetables and like very lean chicken or something. I think I lived on that. And then I'd get to my weight, go on the holiday or whatever it was, come back, and then just like overeat, like then have like loads of takeaways, which would be very fat. So then I think the gallbladder was kind of like trying to like make bile for no fat. So then it's like, I don't need to do anything. And then it was like overload. Now I need to create loads. And I think it just was like, it didn't know what was going on. I'm pretty convinced that's what happened because it was maybe about 2 years after the extreme yo-yo dieting that I had the issue and then I had to have my gallbladder removed. So that's why I like to sort of share a little bit about like yo-yo dieting because I just think it's I don't think there's anything beneficial. I really don't think there's anything good that comes out of it. Like you want to lose weight, but maybe, like you say, it's work on your mindset so you actually feel more comfortable as you are, and then start thinking about what can I do that's a lifestyle thing where I'm going to feel like more energy and focusing on those sort of things. Yeah. Yeah.
And like you, I probably spent my 90s as well yo-yo dieting. Then the low-fat thing came in. So, we heard, just eat low fat and everything's going to be fine. Well,
Yes.
the thing with low fat is sugar is added to things to make it
Yes.
taste better. So, once you learn all these things
Yeah.
in your journey, it changes, right?
Yeah. It's really interesting because it's like the things that we're being taught as being like the healthy things, we're now going, actually, eggs are good. And don't worry about like cholesterol. You could eat eggs. It's not the sugar, and it's not the fat, it's the sugar that's causing like the weight issues. You can actually have, you have some olive oil on your salad and have some steak and chicken. Like it's not actually the fat, it was the sugar that was causing these issues. But, like let's probably not get into it, but we do know like the food industry do play their little games and they sort of like push, this study, and you find out that study's being sponsored by like a sugar company or breakfast cereal company. So they're obviously going to sort of try and get results that are going to be in favor of their product. And then you start to learn these things, and you're just like, oh, wow, we had it all upside down, isn't it?
It's absolutely true, and that just felt even along my journey, there was so much to unlearn, so much to learn, and then relearn just to keep going on the journey to better health. It's crazy to me how much time I feel like I wasted trying to diet my way and try to, be thin when it was just really so much right in front of you. Was just It, I really try to keep it simple, keep it plain, and it's helped me be successful.
And now you're also helping other women, aren't you? So you had this health crisis which led to you making these changes and changes that seem like they've stuck. It's been years now, and now you want to share that with others and help other women.
I do. It became a passion for me. I remember even at one time, probably at that year and 9 months mark, even praying about it, like, what do you want me to do? I felt like God was telling me to do something. And oddly enough, I was thinking like a gym. I was thinking, how I would think, should I open a gym? And I really, that wouldn't be my thing because I'm not that into that. But it just it came to me once I lost the weight. I was like, maybe. And at this point, I was still in corporate. And of course, the pandemic hit, and I was still in corporate at home. And I just kind of started working on the side, trying to really just I hired mentors and coaches to help me, and then I just figured out I really want to help other women, especially over 50 who are like me, that think that maybe their life is over, they're too old, they can't learn something new, that they've struggled all their life. How could they possibly lose weight at 50? And that's why it's really become so passionate for me helping women, especially over 50.
And I think what's really powerful is when you're the example, because you can, there's so many fitness people out there, health people, and sometimes you look at them and think, you've always been slim, you've always looked healthy and quite strong and lean. You don't know what it's like. So when I see someone who's like actually walked that journey, they've walked that path, I'm always like, I want to learn from them. I want to hear from them. So I think like you are like your best example, isn't it?
For sure, because I think of the women that I follow that are over 50, and they're some of them are in fitness, and they're talking about how your weight changes as you're getting premenopausal and menopausal, and they're just a few pounds overweight, and I'm talking about a lot of weight over, and it's different. It's not the same for sure.
So, would tell us about your how you help women. Do you have a Facebook group? Do you have programs? Do you do one-on-one? Let us know how people can work with you.
Absolutely. I do have a Facebook group. It's Weight Loss Women Over 50, and you can find me there. It's a free group, so just come in there. I'm also on Facebook at Robin Polk and Instagram at robin.polk. I'm only doing one-on-one coaching right now, and I was doing like 6 weeks or 8 weeks, but I've really found that the women who get results have been with me for 6 months or more. And so I'm strictly doing coaching, one-on-one coaching for 3 months, 6 months, or a year now, because, or, and then go month to month after that. However, they need support, and I love it so much, and I love seeing them get the results. So
Sounds great. It sounds, yeah, no, it sounds really good. I'll also put those profile links into the description as well. So if you're on YouTube or if you're on the podcast or on the blog, you'll be able to read those and click them as well. Is there any, so what would be your final, like your key piece of advice or for, yeah, for someone who is struggling, what would be your, like, this is the one thing I want you to know?
the one thing I want you to know is to keep going and keep at it. This is a process. You can't keep giving up. Give yourself a year. Give yourself a year to really commit to the journey and keep it simple.
Yeah. Thank you, Robin. It's been so nice to have you on and hear more about your story and just see how you are. Like you come across like I you come across like warm and really encouraging. Like I said, I picked that up when we were in the group together and I'm really glad to have had you on here. And the work you do sounds like really amazing, really important, and helping women to realize it's a journey and it's not these like quick fixes. And it's actually doing this internal work, isn't it? The mindset shifts and really changing how we see ourselves, our self-image, our identity. And that is the thing that makes lasting change. Thank you. And thank you for everyone for watching or listening. And put your feedback. Let us know your thoughts in the comments. Thank you.